Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Hello, artist mothers. We are kicking off the new year with a bonus episode of sorts. My good friend, co-conspirator, and just a woman I love and admire, Isadora Stowe, is joining me for a conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about goal setting and our words for the year, and just a few other things that we have on the agenda for you, just to kick off the year and give you some inspiration to start. I know many of you are thinking about, you know, setting new intentions and what you're planning for the year. And so I didn't want to start with just a traditional episode where I'm interviewing somebody, but just wanted to, you know, share a more relevant conversation about what we might be thinking or feeling as we start 2022. Doesn't that number still feel very futuristic? Like, sometimes I see that number. It's like, because I was born in the 80s, you know, I'm just like, oh, wait, the 2000s are like this thing in the future where there's like spaceships and I don't know. And then I'm like, wait, it's not only the 2000s, it's 2022. Like that's, we're 22 years into this century. I don't know. It's just weird. But anyway, Isadora Stowe is an artist mother who lives in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and she's been on the podcast. Do you remember what your episode was?
72.
With Sarah Sidhoff. Isadora is an arts professor and a mixed media artist, and she and I co-teach a professional practice course for artists called Wearing All the Hats. A course that we specifically designed for artist mothers, but it's definitely open to all female or non-binary identifying artists. It's really about how to fit in the professional practice stuff when you have a lot on your plate, whether that's you're a caregiver or you have another job or, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the course and actually bring on a couple of our past students here in a few minutes. So you'll hear more about the course, but it's just Isadora and I have just grown in our friendship from doing this work together. And yeah, I just feel really grateful.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here and to have your friendship and to work on this course. It's been a dream come true.
It has. Okay. So Isadora, I just want to know how you feel about quote unquote New Year's, not necessarily this new year, 2022, but just like, is New Year's an inspiring time for you? Or do you feel, like, is it positive? Is it hard for you? Do you feel like it's a time of renewal or does it just feel like a lot of expectation?
I adore it because I am a big goal setter and I love symbolism and I love, rituals and I love, and it feels like a very communal kind of ritual where a lot of people, are kind of coming together to say that this is a new year. All new possibilities are open. There's so much out there. And so, for me, it's a very positive thing. It's not, I don't think like I need to be a better person, so I need to do all these things. It's not engaged in that. It's like, how can I look at my life, take stock of things, think about what else I would love to accentuate in my life? Like, what would I like more of? And how can I build on that and open up a space to have more of what I love and what I enjoy and bring it into my life? Because I believe that, everything's intention-based. Mm-hmm. Bring what we need. We bring what we want into our worlds. And if we're really intentional about it, and we make a plan and we make an active plan, then we can get those things. And so to me, it's a very exciting time. I love any kind of ritual and I love anything that's renewal. And especially this goes back, 4,000 years, this kind of New Year's ritual. So it's a fun thing for me. And I love hearing what other people have to say. I'm super interested in what other people want to do. And
inspired. I love that you brought up the history and just the communal aspect of it, because I think that's something I love too. Of course, there's a few things that I don't like about New Year's, and that's like the, sort of the invitation to be a new you, or like sort of the capitalistic mindset of like shed the old and lose 20 pounds and like do all this. I think there is a lot of resistance sometimes to New Year's because there's just like all this pressure to like create this whole new life for yourself. And it's just a day. But like you, I really like anything that sort of is an invitation to reflect. And that's all it is, right? It is just another day, but it is sort of a ceremonial invitation to pause, to put your life into perspective, to, just sort of think about what you might want to change, reflect on the past year. Like if we don't have sort of these markers, right, then we're just continually sort of going through the motions. And like, I live for the markers, right? I'm like, how can we close one chapter and like think about the next? Like that in between space of, like reflection and then moving forward and revitalizing and renewing and just setting intentions, like that is like my jam. Like I love that stuff. Also, my birthday is like super close to New Year's, so it just feels very personal and ceremonial for me. And I know your birthday is at the beginning of February, so it's just kind of like, obviously we share some of the same energy of like being people who just kind of really feel encouraged and uplifted, and maybe in our own sort of skin, good in our own skin and our own skills, like at the beginning of the year. But I think it's important just to talk about it in a way that is open, because I know some people do feel discouraged this time of year, and we're all just like really burnt out from the holidays. And it's like, I can't even think about mustering the energy to come up with goals. Like I'm just surviving right now. So if whatever side of like the spectrum of that you fall on, I hope that, this conversation helps you take some softness into your new year. And even if it's something as simple as saying, I want to drink more water, or I want to sleep more, I still think there is just beauty in the breath, right? The moment of pause. Mm-hmm. And really inviting space in for ourselves to reflect. So speaking of space, I wanted us to talk about our words for the year. I know this is a ritual that both you and I do. And, some years for me, like I've picked a word and it ended up that the word didn't really connect with me that well, or it didn't feel like by the end of the year, I was like, oh yeah, that was my word. I didn't really use it. And then some years it's been like, man, this word is just like, kicking me in the butt. And so for me, I know I already talked about this a little bit on the episode that we ended 2021 with, but definitely the word that I'm choosing to be sort of my compass for 2022 is space. And I'm thinking about space in relationship to just the way that I, the way that I do goal set and think about productivity, and it's just so easy for me to fall into the mindset of like doing 100% all the time.
Yes.
And I've just really learned some hard lessons in 2021 that I can't operate in that way. And I don't want to operate in that way. Like, I want to be moving through the world, maybe at 75% of my capacity, so that there's always space, right, for reflection, to call a friend, to cry, to like be in touch with my emotions, to sit with my children, you know, to, I don't know, whatever it is, like pick up a yoga class, like to be spontaneous. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I have, the last few years, I've just been operating at such high capacity, and I've had no space sort of for joy and for that breath that I'm talking about, right? That marker, the margin. And so I'm really, really looking forward to keeping that word close to my heart this year, and really trying to be intentional about not maximizing my days, but just keeping things a little more spacious. What about you? What's your word for the year? Or do you have any thoughts on my word?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely adore that. And I feel like, I think I've used a different word, but I'm describing something similar. But I just think that's so important. And just, that's something that you've also really taught me. And I think that's influenced my word is, nourishment. That's my word for this year. And it's, I think that I get so excited. I want to do all the things. I wear all the hats. I do things. I put my energy into things that I do love. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just so much that I am quickly eating and just running to the next thing, or I'm drinking coffee because I'm like, I can't get to a meal because I got these meetings and I got to do this. And I think that my word last year was joy. And I really focused on that. What brings that into my world? And so, I think this year I know what those things are now, and now I want to make sure that they are integrated into my life. And so nourishment for me is really thinking more about that kind of space, but also it's post-pandemic. And I've noticed from my colleagues and from my students, this kind of burnout and this kind of, so I want everything that I kind of have my hands in when I'm programming, when I'm doing events, when I'm doing projects, exhibitions, I want them to have this sense of nourishment in some kind of a way, so that people, I know people are there's a weight, you know, with us family. And I feel like if I can make opportunities and ways that people can feel nourished by these things that I'm doing and putting out into the world, that's kind of like the focus. That's the thing I want to keep kind of like bringing into focus as I'm working.
I love it. Yeah. Nourishment has been a word. I mean, that was a theme on the network that we picked for 2021, I think back in the spring of last year. So it's definitely a word that like is something I've been thinking about a lot too. And it feels like a sister word to space. Like that's part of it, is like creating space for nourishment, right? Like, so it's just interesting that, yeah, like we are on these similar paths of like feeling like we need, you know, similar things. And I'm sure many people listening can resonate with these ideas of like, you know, artist mothers in general, we're maxed out, right? And so how can we use our own platform to provide space for people to feel nourished, to be inspired, to create space in their own lives, you know, like those are the kind of things that I'm thinking of. And I just wanted to say briefly too, that I didn't realize that your word for last year was joy, but I feel like that is like my sister word for this year. And it's actually going to transition to my next question for us, but just to briefly share about a few goals for this year. One that I wanted to share is just that I want to invite more joy into my life. I had some friends over in December, and my sister a few years ago bought me a tarot deck that's like a motherhood based tarot card deck. And I drew the card, it's like a monkey card. And basically the card was like, you need to lighten up. and like be more like a monkey and enjoy your life a little bit more and don't take everything so seriously. And of course it said it like much more poetic than I'm describing, but that card hit me so hard. Like I'm sort of like new to the tarot practice. I know that you have a little more experience with it. I'm excited to explore more of that this year, but man, I was like, when I first pulled that card, I was like, monkey, like this is so silly. And then I was like, yeah, it's so silly. Like you have no space for being silly. Like you take everything so seriously. Like you need to relax and have more joy and like, you know, freedom to play. And I don't know, like find things funny, you know? And so I just wanted to bring that up because, well, A, it's one of my goals, but just, you know, knowing that that was your word last year, I just appreciate that we're connected in these ways and we need to keep pushing each other to.
Yes. And you're a big part of my joy last year. So,
well, same to you.
You brought a lot of joy to me.
So let's both of us share a few of our goals that we have for 2022. We're going to be talking about some of our goal setting on the Artist Mother Morning Show, which is a part of our Artist Mother Network. And you have agreed to be my special guest for the month of January. So you're going to be joining me every Monday in January on the morning show. And the second week that we're on, which is January 17th, we're going to be digging into goal setting and planning to achieve goals in the new year. But I just wanted to hear today on the podcast episode just a little bit about some of the goals that you have for yourself for 2022.
Okay. I have a lot, but I'm going to pare them down. I'm going to make them very simplified. But one of them is nourishing myself, you know, really changing my eating habits to be a lot more mindful. And that means there's just like a lot of active things I need to do in order to make that happen. And my commitment to being outside in nature 5 times a week. And I want to, sales-wise and my artwork, I want to double my sales from last year. My goal was to double my sales from the year before and I exceeded that. So I'm so excited. So I'm really hoping that I can do that. I've gotten some really good advice from you and from some other artist mothers about revamping my website and my sales strategies. So I'm going to do that. I'd love to double my public permanent art installations, and I'd love to have 3 licensing contracts under my belt by 2023. That's my big goal. And then
you're going to do it.
Thank you. And then just more of the nourishment, you know, and I have some projects and events and opportunities and grants and things going on, but all within the vein of really highlighting and elevating artists and making sure that these kinds of nourishing kinds of things for everyone involved, all the processes and all of that.
Beautiful goals, Isadora. I'm always so inspired to hear what other people are, you know, wanting to accomplish. It's not so much that you're wanting to accomplish it, but just knowing that you're on the journey of working towards something like just is so inspiring. So I also have a lot of things that I'm thinking about, but I just wanted to share a couple today. And I've been using my Manifesting Magic Planner to do some of my goal setting. And I love that thing. Like I love having like one place to like, you know, have all this information collected. And if you haven't heard, we created a planner at the end of 2021 and you can buy it on Amazon, just search Manifesting Magic, a yearly planner for artists.
I love it.
I got it right here.
I keep like writing it on a scrap piece of paper and then transferring it because I'm like, this is so precious. I want to make sure that it's all the right way.
I know. And it just, I love it. I'm flipping through it right now. My John's going to be mad because he's going to be like, why did you have all this background noise? But I just love it. And I love starting the new year with, you know, something that feels like it's really getting at the heart of like what you want to do. And I really like
actionable steps. Like mm-hmm. that's what's so wonderful.
Yeah. I love the goal setting section in the planner. But so a couple of my goals, inviting more joy into my life, as I mentioned, I really want to book a 2023 or 2024 Indiana-based art show for myself. So whether that's a solo show or maybe like a two-person show or something. I have quite a few shows this year in 2022, but I just want to make it a goal to like get more connected within my state. Like the shows that I have coming up this year are more, you know, just based on other connections. And since, you know, I'm only a year and a half into living in Indiana, it's like, okay, I need to start making some headway into like just connecting more with local galleries and my own art scene. And so that's a goal. I inspired by the Wearing All the Hats course. One of the things that I really want to get better about and have a strategy for is being in touch with collectors and like just creating space for communicating and connecting with people who already have supported my art. Like, you know, instead of this scarcity mindset of like, I gotta get new people buying my work and I gotta reach more and blah, blah, blah. But like, I've had over the years, you know, a lot of people buy work from me, and I just want to be more intentional about like being in touch with those people and sending notes of gratitude. And so I want to get some printed materials. Like, you're always inspiring me to get some fun postcards or stickers and send things in the mail. And I have a goal of doing one newsletter a month this year. And so I'm just being more intentional about the way that I'm communicating about my art and my art practice with sort of my followers or the people in my community that, you know, are interested in what I'm doing, and just not taking those people for granted, but just really like trying to invest in them more in 2022. And again, that's just so inspired by what I'm learning from you through the course. Mm-hmm. And then the last goal is, I feel like the last couple of years for me have been less about showing my work and more about experimentation and really digging into like finding my voice as an artist. Mm-hmm. And I'm now seeing sort of the fruit of those couple slower years in that I have actually 4 shows booked for 2022. And so my goal with those shows is to just create margin, right? And I'm creating margin through intentionally planning for those shows, right? So I'm not going to wait till the last minute. I'm not going to, you know, I'm really going to try to be as forward thinking as I can and really anticipate when I might need space to do work, when I might, you know, need a week to just document all the work, and like really thinking about the cycle of my studio, which is something we also talk about in the course. But just thinking through all the steps that I will need to go through to create these bodies of work for these 4 shows, and just being very intentional about creating enough space and planning for them. So that's a big goal of mine.
I love it.
So let's talk a little bit about Wearing All the Hats course. You know, we're not trying to completely overwhelm you guys with a sales pitch, but we really believe in this content and this material. And it's just really about what you and I are currently learning and the journey that we're literally walking as artists. Like, all this course is doing is trying to share, like, this is the road we're on. These are the skills that we're trying to develop. This is the knowledge that we have and the knowledge that we're trying to gain. And so this course is a way to bring others into that conversation and to learn from each other. Again, this is the Wearing All the Hats professional practice course that Isadora and I created for the artist mother community, but it's for all female or non-binary identifying artists. And it's currently enrolling through January 17th. That's the last day to sign up. And the course starts on January 24th. But just, you know, I wanted just for us to talk a little bit about the course and why we feel so passionate about doing this work together. Because this is a huge passion project for us, right? I mean, we're doing this on top of a lot of other things that we're doing. So what do you think makes this course sort of different from some of the other like artist courses or professional practice things out there that you've seen? And maybe we both want to highlight some of the curriculum topics that we go into depth in.
Yeah, I mean, this is such an incredible program because I think this is the thing I'm always searching for. I've always been searching for as an artist is how do I do all these things? And I've taken courses. I've been certified in grant writing. I never had the opportunity. They didn't even offer it when I had undergraduate or graduate school professional practices. But from what I have seen in the curriculum, I have seen, you know, it's a lot of the information, but it's not a lot of the processing of it in the ways that are really needed for specifically for artist mothers, female identifying mothers, people who have dependents and who have people we're responsible to, but we're still, you know, we have another job maybe, or maybe we didn't have the academic training and maybe, and we want to put, you know, put our work out there, but we don't really know where to start. There are lots of gatekeepers. There's lots of ways that this art world works that are so different than different industries. And they're not necessarily ways to kind of access that. And so we wanted this really holistic approach where we're thinking about your own vision, your own idea of what success is, your own core values, what is important to you, how do you reach those things, and how do you get the tool sets so that you can do these things and you can recognize your strengths. It's so important to us that people are able to see their own strengths and what they maybe need to outsource because that's not... It's a stress and somebody else would be much better at, for instance, for me, it's documenting my work. And, you know, there are different things that we can learn. And there's all different parts of the process that were not ever given to me in my undergrad or graduate school, you know, like inventory, like, you know, a website, you know, just these basics that are so incredibly important to our practice and the longevity of our practice. It's a marathon. So what's wonderful about our course is we give you all these different topics like artist statements, websites, inventory, grant writing, exhibition preparation, all of these things that you can use no matter what state you're at. So if you're just a beginner or if you're mid-career, we've had all artists from all different levels and from all over the world take the course, and it's all relevant still. And so I think that's what's really important about our course. And we also have accountability partners. We are really motivated about community and about how to network and how to take up space. And so by putting our students in accountability groups, where they can meet on their own time. And the data shows that if you have an accountability partner, you're more likely to get your stuff done. Cause this is the stuff that we don't necessarily want to do. Right.
Right.
But if we have somebody else out there saying, yeah, you know, I see that you are this, and I know your strengths and I see what you're doing, they're another helpful, reflection mirror to help you, you know, get all these things done. So I think that what we offer is so spectacular in that way. And what we've seen come out of it is spectacular, but I think it's just so needed. It's the conversations and it's the processing, it's the exercises, and it's the kind of best practices and ways that work for each person that I found to be lacking in everything I've tried, all the marketing classes I've taken, you know, every kind of thing that I have looked for, this is what I could not find. And so that's why I think we're so passionate is we know this is needed. And so we're trying to bring this to people in the best way possible in real time, post-pandemic world. What does that look like?
Right. So well said. I'm just like, you're just lighting the fire, like, and making me like, yes, this is why we do this. It's so good. But just a couple brief things to highlight based on what you just said, like, that it just feels like all of the things about being an artist that you wish you learned in grad school or any school, right? Like, and it's, I go back and forth on this, but it's not necessarily the school's job to like teach you how to create your own website. I think, you know, and our goal with this curriculum is that maybe graduate programs will start partnering with us so that we can get this material into the hands of people who are in grad programs, because this is when you want to start learning this stuff, or whether you're a self-taught artist or whatever it is. But like these are not formulas, they're systems, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I think is different about the way that we teach this, is we're not saying like, here's your 10 steps to being a successful artist. We're slowing it down. We're saying you are a human being first, and you have a life already. We're not asking you to squeeze whatever, you know, life you have into this capitalistic mold of like white male patriarchal art world. We're saying like, let's slow down. What are you working with? What time do you have? What strengths do you have? What do you care about? What are your values? Like, we're really, every week, we really try to help people connect this material, even something as simple as, or not as simple as, but something as direct and capitalistic as using Instagram or creating a website. Mm-hmm. We're not just like saying, here's the formula, figure it out. We're saying, how does this connect to your values? What time do you have for these things? Like, it feels like a very porous and holistic way to approach professional practices. And that's what I think is different, because I think professional practice is just something that people want to slap like a Band-Aid on, or they just want, you know, the quick fix. And this is about so much more than that. It's about the way that you're presenting your art to the world. It's about the way that you're communicating yourself to people. It's about how you're moving through the world as an artist. It's beyond what you're making. It's about how you're existing as an artist in the world. Like, that's what professional practice is to me, you know? Yeah. And I love that we really try to help people see it in a more holistic way rather than just, tell me how to make a website, you know?
Yes.
So what is something that you feel like surprises you about the course every time that we teach it?
I think the implementation, just watching students like implement it in real time, because we can see on Instagram and the courses on the network. And so we're able to hear in real time people implementing these different practices into their lives and seeing the results. It's so rewarding to me. I love for artists. I mean, I feel like artists in general are undervalued, right? Mm-hmm. And like, see artists, you know, and be empowered and put that out into the world. It surprises me how much I love it every single time. I'm never tired of it. I'm like, oh my God, it just feeds me. So that is a total delight from this program, is getting to have these relationships with all the students and see them and see the trajectories of them after they're out of the course and see them implementing things. And it's just like, to me, that's the thing that surprises me, that it's never, it never gets old.
The good surprise.
Seeing that for the rest of my life.
I think one thing that always surprises me is just how different we all are. And I think it is surprising to me, because we have been facilitating this course through the Artist Mother platform. And so we're already kind of in this space where we're so connected by these things that we have in common. But then the course like allows us to really dig in, as we've said, to like our values, our strengths. And it just opens up this conversation about how there is no one way to be an artist, you know? And I feel like that's a lesson I just keep, I'm continually surprised by the beauty in that lesson. And I see it through the people that we get to be in the course with, right? And how everybody has something to teach us, and everybody has something to learn. and how we just have all these differences, and we're never trying to make everybody in the course look the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that is like something that just the way that that physically and metaphorically unfolds with throughout the duration of the course, like just seeing the different paths that people take is just always delightful and surprising to me.
I love that so much, because I love that about the course, that it's that your strength is literally who you are. Mm-hmm. And just being able to bring that out and find the words for that and how to communicate that and how to empower yourself with that and recognize that about yourself, like that, that journey. I just love you talking about that, because yeah, that's just amazing.
What are some of your favorite topics to teach, or some of the favorite weeks that we cover?
Always grant writing. I mean, I love
you guys. Love, she's a big nerd. I'm like, snooze.
Oh my God. I had to pare it down. I had 9 hours of content and I had to pare it down because I was just, I've been certified in grant writing, but it, because there is so much money out there, mm-hmm. so much, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to think of, it's just about finding that money and being able to write a compelling not argument, but, you know, to ask for it in a compelling way. And this kind of, it does have systems. So learning those systems, and then you get it. And it's just mm-hmm. amazing. You can really, if you put the time into it, once you get one or two, it's just, it starts to become clockwork. You get to save those, you know, outlines that you have. It's just a matter of plugging stuff in. And, to me, that's the thing that's the most undervalued. And it's not even a word I even knew when I was in art school, you know, mm-hmm. And it can make all the difference. You know, artists, we're always fighting for resources and time and energy. And if we can outsource some of that time with the grant, or mm-hmm. we can get everything paid for with the grant. I mean, now I my exhibitions, and this is, I do not pay for anything. I mm-hmm. have grants that support them from the beginning to the end. And to me, that was a long goal, but it's not very hard to attain. And so grant writing is to me like the most exciting, because I feel like it's the underdog. Like,
yeah,
it's not,
I love it.
It's not that hard. And once you
well, that's the thing. It's not that hard. Like, 'cause that's where my resistance is. It's like, mm-hmm. Grants, I don't know how to do that. I just immediately put up a wall.
Oh my God.
You know, well, I think that's something that I've learned from you, is like, just in general, I think there's these major parts of professional practice that we just have these walls. Like, we're like, I'm just not a social media person, or I'm just not a grant writer person. And, you know, we never want to make people feel like they have to do all of the things. Like, we think it truly is about picking and choosing what is best for you. But I think that's one of the beautiful things about the course, is that we are being exposed to like different things that maybe we realize like, oh, maybe I could write a grant, and like, who knows, maybe I'll surprise myself, and you know, maybe it's not as hard as I think it is. And just that learning experience is just so enriching.
Oh yeah. But, and my other nerd one is inventory. You know, I love me some inventory.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, definitely one of my favorites is Instagram. Just because I know it's a topic that I teach well. I feel like I have Instagram figured out in my mind. Like, I know a lot of people struggle with social media and Instagram, and there's something about it that it just doesn't bother me. It doesn't weigh on me like it does other people. And I feel like it's because I've really thought through my relationship with it. And I've put in the time to like say, you know, this is what I want to use social media for. And like I'm the boss, you know, of my social media. And I love the conversations that come out of the Instagram week, because I just feel like I'm pretty good at helping people feel like they're the boss again. Like I'm trying, you know, again, like I'm not trying to tell people, here's the millions of things that you need to start doing immediately to be good on Instagram. It's like, no, what are your strengths? What are your skills? Like, this is your Instagram. This is your social media. Like, let's talk about, you know, what you want to do with it, how you want to use it, and how you feel about it. You know, like, we always invite feelings into the conversation. We talk about what makes you stress, what makes you anxious, what brings you joy, and like how you can lean in or lean out of those things. And so, yeah, I love that week. Cause it's just something I feel like I teach well, and I just really enjoy like being in conversation about it. And then, you know, I think the first week too, where we do a lot of that vision planning and helping people to like reflect and think about what they care about. And then we sprinkle some of that in the rest of the course, where we're just continually trying to bring people back to like, well, don't get caught up in the tizzy about grant writing if it doesn't align with your values, right? Or whatever. So like, just that continual thread of like really helping people engage with what their own path is as an artist. I just think that's like one of my favorite parts of the course.
Absolutely. And I love your Instagram presentation. Like, I've learned so much, it changes so much, just the perspective and just the way you strategize it. And I just can't say enough about it. I re-listened to it many times because I love
Well, thank you. This podcast episode is supported by Wearing All the Hats Without Losing Your Head, which is a professional practice course specifically designed for artist mothers that I co-teach with my good friend Isadora Stowe. This course was designed for you and is open to all female and non-binary identifying artists. It lays out specific strategies for doing all the extras. You know, like everything that comes with being an artist besides making your work, from coming up with a website to writing grants to connecting with clients to pricing your work to putting your work on Instagram, photographing your work, writing your CV, writing a newsletter, goal setting. I mean, there's so much, right? There's just so much we're responsible for when we're trying to build out our careers as artists. And finding the time and headspace for these things can be so hard when you're a person who already just has a lot on your plate. So this course helps you identify your own values as an artist and carve out really your unique path and find success for the things that you want to do to make your art career successful for you. It features worksheets, accountability groups, activities, lots of conversation, and it's just jam-packed full of so much material that is really broad and porous and engaging. We are really proud of this course, and we have worked so hard on it. So if you're interested in joining us, we're currently enrolling our third round of the course. It meets Monday evenings from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Zoom, starting on January 24th for 12 weeks. We would love to have you. Please check out artistmotherpodcast.com and click the community tab to see the link to the professional practice course, or there's a direct link to the course in our Instagram bio and our link tree on our Instagram, so you can find more information there. Enrollment will close January 20th, so just a few days before the course, and we would just love to have you join us. We can't wait to get to know you. We can't wait to build community and be in community with you. And we really just want to use this course to help you and all of us to just feel more focused on our own values as an artist and make decisions about the things that we want to do to improve our careers, to make them what we want them to be. And we really want you to feel empowered. This course is a lot about empowerment and just giving you the tools to be a successful artist. And success is really defined by you in that. So please join us. Enrollment closes January 20th, 2022. As I mentioned, we would love to see you there. For more information, go to artistmotherpodcast.com or check out the direct link in our link tree on Artist Mother Podcast on Instagram. Okay, Isadora, that was such a great conversation. And now I'm so excited to shift gears a little bit, keeping with the flow of talking about the course. But we have invited on two alum that we just really appreciate. And well, we appreciate all of our alum, but two people that we just thought of when we were like, who could we ask to just share a little bit about their perspective being on the course and, you know, just to hear how they've implemented some of the course materials. So I'm just thrilled to welcome Jean Gray Mose and Aprajita Jane Mahagan on. Jean Gray is in North Carolina and Aprajita is all the way over in India. So we really have sort of spread our locations out with this course. We've had people from, I guess, all over the world, which is so weird to say, participate in the course, which is really great. So let me read through their bios and then we will welcome them and have a few questions for them to just wrap up here. So Jean Gray Mose is an abstract narrative artist based in Raleigh, North Carolina. Drawing from her own personal experience, she creates vibrant wooden objects that explore transplant, disease, and the body's tenacity. Her work has been seen at the Contemporary Art Museum in Raleigh, the North Carolina Museum of Art, and will be shown at Duke University Hospital this fall. Her work has been featured in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Southern Living, Walter Magazine, and Traditional Home. And Aprajita is an abstract mixed media artist using inherited textile and thread, painting and drawing to explore the interaction between seen and unseen forms and energies. Her work rises out of the flat 2D surface and explores three-dimensional space. She did her BFA from RISD, the Rhode Island School of Design, majoring in film, animation, and video in 2003. So Jean Gray and Aprajita, just again, thank you so much for being here and just taking the time to talk a little bit about your experience with the course and just to catch up with us today.
Yeah, I'm super happy to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, really happy to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
Of course. Okay, so both of you, just want to hear initially if you could talk a little bit about some big takeaways or highlights from the course. And I'm curious to know, like, what are some of the things that you sort of implemented right away? And these were like, bam, like, I'm going to start doing this right now. And then maybe we can talk about like some of the things that you feel like are still kind of, you're still chewing on and are things that you feel like are more longer term strategies that you're going to be implementing like over time with the course. Aprajita, let's start with you.
So my biggest takeaway, I think, was taking ownership of my own practice. And so I think
Isadora's crying already.
Sorry.
But it's true. It's seriously true. So taking ownership of my practice, structuring my, So taking ownership of my practice, structuring my studio practice, which means separating the studio with the administrative work. I think that was really key because I think you get, you know, stressed with both. You just want to, like, I think as an artist, you just want to create, and then that becomes a burden. Mm-hmm. So that whole talk about the studio cycle, where, you know, each piece you created, but you end it with the framing, mm-hmm. and all the parts that come in between. So I think that was one of my biggest takeaways.
Mm. Awesome. Jean Gray, what about you? Some big takeaways?
I feel like we're just going to be echoing each other here. I think the same thing. I mean, it started with just kind of meeting us each, like, exactly where we were. You know, I came in like a little bit seasoned, but I was at a kind of a precipice where I needed to like refocus in this like really specific way. And so even just like from the get-go, the goal setting and like the specific way that you guys asked us to define things by like habits, tasks, you know, celebrations, kind of like plugging away these blocks of things that we needed to do, just the clarity of that for me, even that alone, like, propelled me in such a phenomenal way. I couldn't even have foreseen that. But that was sort of just the goal setting and having it be so intentional with like the two of you and with the group that we had that was just so transparent and open and like setting that time, like setting that intention for that time and that space was just really powerful. Was like one of my main things that like set the tone for the rest of the course. The inventory, you know, Isadora, I keep talking about Isadora, inventory. From the second I had that session, like everything changed. Do you know what I mean? Like everything about my practice changed. And I mean, it wasn't just that, it was all the things, but you know, like just from just being in it, nothing was the same. Everything in the studio was more natural. I felt like I love the conversation about a visual vocabulary and why certain symbols appeared, you know, like having that conversation, identifying that. And then it really, I think, like being in that group of women, like seeing why my voice was important and allowing me to like really lean into that voice and like really hear it and articulate it and write it. And in that group setting, it was really powerful. So it was all the things, you know, there was a lot of takeaways and I'm still having takeaways. Like I have this whole book in front of me of like notes I took that like I still reference. So.
Yeah. So was there anything that maybe was a little bit harder to chew on initially that you're kind of still digesting that you feel like was a longer term, like something that you just... It's not necessarily that it wasn't useful for you, but that you just feel like, I'm just thinking about that now, and I'm going to come back to that, and I'm going to keep kind of re-dipping into that. Curious to know, like, about some of those longer-term lessons that you feel like maybe you're learning from the course, Jean Grey.
I feel like I just wish I had had it so many years before. I think that, like, I was overwhelmed in like a really wonderful way with the course. There was nothing that I felt like was too much to bite off. It just felt like writing it down allowed me to like kind of take it as I needed to. It just felt me look back and think like, oh, wow. Like there's all of these other things I could have done differently and wish that I had known them before. You know, it was more of that feeling like, oh, I have a lot of work to do now, you know, to like go back through past things is more kind of the harder things or if there was a part that was tough.
Yeah. What about you, Aparajita? Anything that you feel like is going to take sort of longer for you to chew on?
Yeah, I think the longer strategy for me is getting together my inventory, getting together all the different versions of the CV, the bios. I mean, I think it's all already starting to happen. But I really like the idea of having having all the different versions of it, like the shorter version, the longer version, even with the photographs, the images. There is just so much there, you know, having images that are work in progress, having studio shots, having your artwork and having it in different DPIs. I think that whole strategy and getting all that information that just slides in with your artwork. It's like, you know, it's the name, the title, the information for that. And having that at your fingertips. So if you're applying to something or you're looking at it for yourself or you want to sell it or whatever, or you want to create an effective website, which is my next plan, all that is just then available to you. You don't have to, you know, scramble at the last minute trying to, you know, write an artist statement for that specific thing. You can just tweak it a little bit. So I think that's my longer strategy, which I'm already sort of chewing into it slowly. But, you know, sort of getting it all that together. I think that was such, I mean, the idea of having so many versions of things, I really liked. A lot. I think that really made sense to me.
Good feedback. And I think too, I mean, this whole course is about your whole career, really. We're not just talking about what to do right now. Like, yes, there are things to like implement immediately, but it's also like, you know, this is about the long game and like the strategies forever and just trying to get organized and create systems that are going to work with you throughout your whole career. And I just wanted to have both of you really briefly maybe share, just share about like where you were with in your art career, where you, when you started the course, because Jean Gray, you mentioned that you were a little bit more established, and I know Aprajita, you have a different experience of like, I think you had let go of your art career for like 10 years. And so you're kind of like starting from scratch again in a lot of ways. So I'm just curious, like, did you have Instagram? Did you have a website? Like, of some of the things that we covered, like, what did you sort of already have? And then, like, I don't know, just like, what kind of place were you at with your art career when you entered this course? Aprajita, you want to start?
Yeah, so when I entered this course, I had, because of the pandemic and just because of being in isolation and all that, I had restarted drawing. So I had told myself before that, and everybody else, whoever asked me what you do, say, oh, I used to be an artist. Mm-hmm. That was going on for a while with me. And then because of the pandemic, I restarted to draw, and that was kind of like what I knew how to do. And I just found myself drawing again. I started making a body of work, and then I started sort of sharing it on Instagram. And I started, I started being intentional about it a little bit, mm-hmm. Sort of structuring it a little bit, not totally randomly sharing it. And then through Instagram, in fact, I sort of found the Artist Mother podcast, the network. And I think that was actually really wonderful for me, because I think that just finding and seeing this community and all these wonderful artists, I followed, you know, I sort of, a lot of the artists that you sort of share, mm-hmm. they share things on the, they do the Instagram takeovers and things like that. So that was really amazing for me. I think that also was quite a turning point, seeing the journey of all these artist mothers, and then the whole, you know, the term coined artist mothers. I think that was a very interesting, I think it was very self-reflective for me. Mm. And I sort of, so I think that's how I had a website in 2008.
Okay.
I just realized, yeah. And you know, I didn't realize that it's over 10 years just mm-hmm. since 2008. So many, many years have passed, but I did have a website of my artwork in 2008. So that doesn't exist anymore. So I had decided to start to make a website, but I think that's something I will do through this year.
Right. And so you were more starting again from the beginning.
Starting a new body of work.
Yeah. And so you still felt like the course met you where you were at.
It did. It did. Yeah. Because I think, I think because I had already done a couple of shows on my own, and I mm-hmm. had made a lot of work over so many years and left it and then gone back and left it. Mm-hmm. I was always meandering between like being an artist and doing design stints. So I already, I think, had a flow of the work. So once I started, I think there's a lot of muscle memory that just came mm-hmm. back into play, and I started creating. So I think just like Jean Gray said, you know, the entire thing of the goal setting, that was amazing for me. The goal setting was really interesting. Like my first goal was showing up in studio, making studio time. You know, that was actually my mm-hmm. first goal. Mm. So, and then creating a body of work. So having, so doing this practice helped me just figure out a structure to mm-hmm. the entire thing, you know, complementing the artwork.
Yes.
So how to structure the entire studio practice. I think that was key for me.
Yes. Jean Gray, tell me a little bit more about what kind of level you were at in your career when you entered the course. Cause I know, you know, we believe that the material is really relevant for artists at many different stages of their career, whether you're beginning or more seasoned. And so just wanting to hear like what your perspective was from that.
Mm, I feel like there's so much to say here. How do you describe what level you are?
I don't know.
I've been having shows, at least one show a year since like 1997. So it feels like it's been like, it's such a part of my identity. And I don't know where you'd plug me as like where I am in my career with that, but
mid-career,
yeah. Sure. Yeah. But you know, pandemic and some health things that had happened to me, I was at a point where I had been a teacher and had stopped teaching. It was not a correct path for me anymore for lots of reasons, and was ready to full force take on my art career. And so when I came, the reason I took the course was I was ready for it. I don't know. It was like, I knew what I needed. And I'm not being entirely clear here, but I was ready to sort of like refine what I was doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like I was like a finished painting and I needed to like, you know, paint the edges. I needed like a good frame. I needed to like crisp it up.
Polish,
you know
what up. I mean?
Yeah. And I needed to hear from other people, sort of like, I don't know, what's the woman, Sharon Loudon, you mm-hmm. know, she's written those books about different artists and their paths. And I just wanted to hear like, mm-hmm. what are ways that it can be done? And kind of learning, you know, any way is the right way. And so
might have been some weeks for you where you're like, yeah, like I've already written an artist statement. Like I already have a website, but you still felt like you were able to like enter in and engage, and maybe instead of completely coming up with the new thing, you're like learning strategies for polishing it up or refining it or something.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you can always, you know, your artist statement can always be crisped mm-hmm. up, right?
That's right.
I mean, I was approaching it with a completely open mind and just mm-hmm. thinking like, you know, this is a beginning and we're going to start from here. So, I don't know. It was great. I feel like I was just, and what was great about it was, like I said, like you guys met me where I was and I was ready. So I was in the moment to be able to like absorb it and apply it immediately, you know, like, and awesome. Because of that, like it like catapulted me. Like I, you know, talking about like the goals, like I still have my goal sheet, like my three goals, my habits and my like, and like my first goal was to feel more connected to my like artistic community. And we're like meeting monthly now in North Carolina with artists and others. I've reached out to like other community members. I had like 12 shows last year. You know what I mean? Like that was just one of my goals. You know, there's two more. So.
Okay. So my next question is, which you're going into already, so you can continue Jean Grey, is just how did the course tangibly help you connect with your goals as an artist? Like what are some of the fruits of the labor, I guess, that you've seen sort of unfold after you've taken the course?
Yeah, well, it just laid the foundation. It's like a solid foundation. It just propelled you, right? Mm-hmm. So like goal one, like this community, and then, you know, beyond my local community as well. I also, one of my goals was to help dialogue about chronic illness and transplant. And like every 3 months I meet and have a talk with pre-transplant patients at Duke Hospital. I've got a show at a hospital this year. I've got a show at a hospital next year, you know, like articulating that's something I want to like share. That's like an intention of my work was really important. So then I could just like, oh, I just need to contact these people and send out these perfect forms that I made in my perfect little core. You know, like, not really, but you know what I mean? Like the clarity of vision was like there. Mm-hmm. And then like goal three, which, you know, you were saying like having the intentional practice, mm-hmm. like I am an autoimmune, like compromised person. So like my family's been sort of safe at home still for mm-hmm. all these days. So we're homeschooling. And so like my kids, you know, letting them know the importance of it, making the schedule, and even like starting with the course, saying like, this is the time we're going to spend on the course. Like even started that, mm-hmm. like, this is my time. This is my studio. We don't come in, like respecting those like boundaries, setting those boundaries. And now, you know, like it's a part of their conversation or like, mom, dad, aren't you? Or like, that wasn't there before, but, yeah. And that was a game changer, right? Mm-hmm. Like making room for those things. So. Mm.
Prajita, how did the course bring you further towards your goals as an artist?
I think it gave me a roadmap to, you know, go in different places. I think show up for myself. Mm. Like I signed up, like I've just signed up for the crit group. Mm-hmm. I try and show up for the morning show. I mean, I'm trying to apply for whatever open calls that I see. And also setting those goals, I think one of the things that the course does is that instead of just giving you information, there's a lot of depth in it. So like when we were setting the goals, we really had to go like deep inside ourselves. I think it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think whatever stage of your practice you are, you really had to sort of dig deep inside. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I think just setting those goals and just seeing that my first basic goal was making intentional time to be in studio every day, mm-hmm. and then sustain the practice, you know, mm-hmm. that was another goal. And also doing it for myself. I think one of the reasons I kept stopping and going back to it was because I think for a lot of us, we have this preconceived notion of what our career path needs to be. Mm-hmm. And because it wasn't going in that way, it, you know, I wasn't able to just sustain myself. So now, you know, I'm painting and I'm creating and I'm drawing for myself because that's what I know how to do. So I think that was, creating like a roadmap and just sort of showing up for myself.
Mm. Again, throwing a random question at you guys, but it just made me think what you both have just shared. Just how hard was it for you to tangibly commit to the course in terms of like committing to the time and then the financial commitment? Like, was that super hard for you? And I'm asking that because I know there's so many artist mothers who are like, I just can't spend $400 on myself. I can't take 2 hours on a, you know, out of my week to like commit to this. So I just want to like throw that question and have you answer honestly, because I know that's like a real struggle for a lot of people. Aprajita, you want to share?
Yeah. So the financial part was just guilt. Like initially it was a lot of guilt, because, you know, I'm not making any, I'm restarting my practice. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of guilt in that. But then I decided that if I'm not going to do this for myself now, then, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, come on.
Right.
So that was, I mean, and anyway, in the pandemic, one isn't going here and there. We're not traveling. We're not
right.
So, you know, I mean, I think it works itself out.
Mm-hmm.
Got done on the online shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I think, what was the second part?
Sorry. Just the commitment to the time.
So that was a big one for me because of the time difference.
Yeah.
But I think I really wanted to do it. I think, yeah. I think I really decided that, you know, I want to go on this, like, this is my career path. And
right.
But I mean, it just felt right. Mm-hmm. So,
I just had this like vision of like, you know, the $400 or whatever that you invest in your art career. It's like, if you were opening a business, like you would have the expense of a building, right? And like you are literally laying the foundation, like the bricks and mortar of your art career. You know, obviously this is metaphorical, but like, it's a pretty small cost to pay like for something that, you know, is kind of providing you with like tangible foundational material for your career. Jean Grey, can you answer that question just about how it felt and how you like managed the decision to like take the time to do the course and to commit to the financial aspect of it?
Yeah, sure. I feel like, you know, when you guys put it out there, I was like, I'm going to do it. Nope. And I thought again, like, I'm gonna do it. Nope. You know, it took me a few times to put it out there to be like, okay, like, I'm gonna do this. And it was that same feeling, like, you know, I need to invest in myself and then, you know, propel me kind of forward. I think the time was like, it felt like a godsend, or I don't know, that might be the wrong way to say it, but it was like, all right, guys, sorry, we've paid for this, I've got to do it. Somehow gave me more reason to like allow myself that time. You know, I do feel like mm-hmm. there's like guilt for taking time for myself somehow, which I think has been a lot of conversations of like the morning shows, which has been really nice,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, making space for yourself. But it took a while, but you know, the dividends of it are, you know, it's gonna come back, right? Mm-hmm. Like the quality of it and how much it just really helped me. It's obvious now, it was a no-brainer, but before it felt like, oh my gosh, should I? But
yeah, thank you. And just to clarify, the time that we're offering the course now, starting in January, is Monday evenings. And all of the course material, whether you can make the live class or not, we always record it right away and get the link to you on the network. So within, 2 to 24 hours, you have access to that course link and you have that for the duration of the course. So I think, we try to keep the material flexible in terms of there's things that come up and you might be out of town that week or it's your kid's birthday or whatever. That's just part of it, right? And that's part of two artist mothers leading the course is we want room for flexibility and, that's just kind of built into the strategy. Okay, two more questions. Really quickly, tell me how the course made you feel. Give me just a couple words. How did you feel?
So I just wrote down, as I was thinking ahead, I wrote prepared, equipped, supported, and catapulted.
Mm. Prajita?
I have a sentence. It made me feel that I can manifest my dream of creating, sharing, and selling my art in harmony with each other.
Isadora has said nothing, you guys. She's just over here crying.
Making you cry, Isadora. Gosh, it's just so amazing. You both are just so wonderful and so open, and it's just so lovely to hear everything you're saying. It's just so wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, and just want to have both of you publicly share a couple goals that you have for 2022. Now that you have the course behind you, we've entered a new year. Just wanting to touch base with you two as artists, what are some things you're thinking about for the new year for yourself, Prajita?
So creating lots of work, allowing myself to experiment without hesitating, letting the process lead me and just creating lots of work. I've joined the Crit Group, which I'm really excited about. It's going to start soon.
Whose group are you in again?
I'm in...
Karen Donna?
Karen, I think. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh,
Karen, she's amazing.
Karen's amazing. Yeah. You're going to love Karen.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited. It's going to start soon. And an effective website. Mm. That is one goal. But I'm not going to stress myself on it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it happens. And then applying to open calls, exhibitions, online residencies, whatever I see comes my way, that I feel I can do it without creating stress and anxiety for myself.
Beautiful.
So that, and possibly starting a yearly newsletter.
Yes.
Once a year. So that
I love that. See, yeah. You guys, we don't give you formulas. We're not you gotta do a newsletter every once a year. You can write an amazing newsletter. I love that commitment. Just starting it, just doing it once. And you have the list growing and you can
With your family and friends and
yes.
You work up with strangers who may have bought your work.
I love that goal, Prajita. That's so great. Jean Gray, what about you? What are some goals that you have for 2022?
So one goal is to acquire a studio outside of my home. If that's Ooh. Something we can, yeah. I've got a couple, fries in the pan or however you say that.
Irons in the fire.
Yeah.
Fries in the pan.
Yeah, fries in the pan is a little more delicious, I guess.
And I'd like to get representation maybe outside of my city, somewhere else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much. Isadora and I know what she's thinking. Just what a privilege it is to just be in community from fantastic people like you. I know I've said this before. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Artist mothers are just such good people. We're just such good people. And every time I get to just share in intentional conversation with any one of you, it just blows me away. I'm just I just want to know them more. I want to go on vacation with them. Can we be best friends? It's just crazy. So we will definitely find some ways for both of you to be sharing more with our community. Jean Gray, is there one final thing you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you guys, because I think, speaking for myself, I don't think I could have been as propelled as I was if it weren't for you guys setting the space and the intention and like being transparent and really just working hard to give us like super quality content. And I'm very thankful. So
Thank you. Thank you.
Me too. I'm really thankful for being here and really thankful for the entire community. I think that the community is just, I think one of the things I feel is that the community was really a big takeaway for me. You know, just being a part of it and then being on the network and then staying on the network, that was a no-brainer.
I know. I love us. We're just the best.
I mean, and like you said, everyone has so much heart. Like, everyone is just so good. Like, I think I personally needed that. Restarting, you just needed that. And my accountability group. I mean, I haven't, you know, we had an accountability group in our time. And they were just amazing. They are. I mean, we're still meeting once a month.
Oh, yes. That's such an important thing we kind of forgot to talk about. But yeah, so Jean Gray, you were in the first iteration of the course before we implemented accountability groups. And Aprajita, you were in the second round of the course where we split everybody up into groups. And we basically just said, like, here's three other people, four other people. You guys can be homework buddies. You can do whatever you want. Like, we're not giving you like rules. And some groups really took that and ran with it. And some groups like just had a few conversations and it fizzled. But I love, Aprajita, that you brought that up at the very end, just that you know, that was a big part of it.
Yeah. So there's one, there's Kasia, Annabelle, and Elaine. So Chicago, UK, and France. So to find that, literally it was down to one specific time at one on Tuesday that was available for, you know, it was like dropping the kid, one is picking up the kid, you know.
So you guys met on Zoom every week?
We met on Zoom every week.
Oh, wow. In addition to the course. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then we did WhatsApp. And sometimes some people could meet and someone couldn't. But we did WhatsApp. And now we're just meeting on Zoom once a month.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then we're still on WhatsApp. And we end up talking about all other stuff besides our work. I think that's, you know,
Well, that's artist mother life to the core is like, yeah, what are you making for dinner? Like, I can't tell you how many artist mothers I've asked about potty training because my three-year-old just refuses to get potty trained, and I've gotten advice from everybody and I'm just like, help me. So, I mean, that's the beauty. All right, ladies, just again, deep, deep gratitude for both of you. Where can people find out more about you and your work? What's your Instagram handle and website, Aprajita? Let us know.
So my Instagram handle is Aprajita_ATOT.
Okay. And website is coming soon, right?
Coming soon, yeah.
And Jean Gray Instagram and website.
You can just look up jeangraymoods.com. And then my web or Instagram is JG.4dots, written out FOURDOTS.
And we will be, of course, linking to all of your outlets and sharing your work when the episode releases. So again, thank you so much. Happy New Year, everybody. 2022. Let's start this year off with a lot of joy and inspiration and beauty, because we all have so much to give and to receive, and the world just needs artist mothers. So let's take up space.
The Artist Mother Podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.